Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, listeners. You're listening to program Pakistan This Week from News and Current Affairs channel of Radio Pakistan. Listeners, this program is simultaneously broadcast from Islamabad at 1152 kHz, Lahore 1332, Karachi 639, Quetta 756 and Peshawar 1260 kHz. This is your host Daniel Ahmed Chukhtai, joined in the studio by
Yusra Mushtaq.
Once again, listeners, welcome to Pakistan This Week. Firstly, a brief introduction of this program. In Pakistan This Week, we discuss important developments and top news stories of the previous week and also of the day. And listeners, you can also listen live to our program or in a recorded form at www.radio.gov.pk. Now, quickly sharing the agenda of this edition of Pakistan This Week. In total, we have 7 topics to share with our listeners, a very stacked up agenda. So, sharing the headlines, firstly, the topic one, listeners, U.S. Defense Secretary to visit Pakistan on Monday. And topic two, Pakistan and Russia agree to expand bilateral ties in diverse fields. Moving on, in topic three, we will discuss a very tragic development which happened during the week, Peshawar terrorist attack. And Pakistan is indeed committed to wipe out terrorism. According to revised figures, 12 people, mostly students, were martyred and 25 others injured in a terrorist attack at Agriculture Training Institute in Peshawar on Friday. Now, the topic for listeners, Indian testing of cruise missile is a threat to regional peace and stability. This has been stated by Foreign Office spokesman Dr. Muhammad Faisal, who also stated that such moves also expose Indian duplicity, that it only pays a lip service to the arms control regimes. And the topic for listeners, Prime Minister Shahin Khaqan Abbasi inaugurated Unit 1 of 1,320 megawatt coal-fired power plant at Port Qasim in Karachi on 29th, and it is apparent that government strives to resolve energy crisis. And topics is listeners, Prime Minister and Saudi King, they discuss to further enhance bilateral ties, and the PM Shahin Khaqan Abbasi has underlined the need to further strengthen the bilateral relations and cooperation between Pakistan and Saudi Arabia in diverse fields including defence, trade and investment. And the last topic that we are going to touch upon, government and leadership of the protesters we saw on 27th of the previous month, they reached an agreement for peaceful resolution of protests sit-in at Faizabad interchange in Islamabad. So this is pretty much all the agenda of this edition of Pakistan This Week. All in all, we have 7 topics, but as of now, listeners, we'll move towards a short break and then we'll come back and discuss these topics in detail. Listeners, we will be right back.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues, with expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Now you can download Radio Pakistan's app, Radio Pakistan Official, from Google Play on your Android cell phone to listen to live news, analysis and your favorite programs and music. Download now and keep listening Radio Pakistan, the voice of the nation. Listeners, welcome back to the News and Current Affairs channel of Radio Pakistan. You're listening to program Pakistan This Week. Now, listeners, firstly, a brief introduction of Pakistan This Week. In this program, we discuss top news stories and important developments of the previous week and also of the day. Now, you can also listen live to our program or in a recorded form at www.radio.gov.pk. This is your host, Daniel Ahmed Chughtai, joined in the studio by
Yusra Mushtaq.
Now, listeners, I have previously shared the agenda of this edition of Pakistan This Week. All in all, we have seven topics to share, and before we proceed with that, I think we are receiving some updates which in a due course we are going to share with you. But starting off with the first topic, US Defense Secretary to visit Pakistan on Monday, and this update we shared in the previous program as well, but we have received more refined updates as to the visit of US Defense Secretary to Pakistan. Now, US Defense Secretary James Mattis will arrive in Islamabad tomorrow, that is Monday, on a day-long visit to Pakistan to discuss regional security, Afghan conflict, and other bilateral issues. Now, according to U.S. Defense Department, James Mattis will hold meetings with Prime Minister Shahid Khan Abbasi and Chief of Army Staff General Qamar Javed Bajwa. Talking to media, James Mattis said that U.S. remains committed to a pragmatic relationship with Pakistan and wants to expand cooperation on shared interest. And James Mattis also said that basically appreciated Pakistan's sacrifices in the war against terrorism. In yesterday's program, Yusra, we talked with an expert who was of the opinion, rather I would say she was very critical of the new policy of United States for this region, and also this visit. She was of the opinion, and allow me to share the name of that analyst, she was Dr. Talat Basarat.
Yes.
And she basically said that this visit is a continuation of that policy which has been disseminated prior to this visit, of course. So briefly touching on this, how do you see this visit of US Defense Secretary James Mattis tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I think it is very much significant as he's coming from Egypt, and it's a kind of a visit where we are looking forward that how the bilateral ties between Pakistan and the USA, they are going to move forward vis-a-vis the peace and stability of Afghanistan. And this is the second in this regard, this visit of the US Defense Secretary, where we have seen that such kind of the prospects of the peace and stability, they have been discussed, especially after the August, the Trump's administration strategy towards Pakistan and Afghanistan, that is it not going to be an exit withdrawal, it's something like to increase the number of the troops in Afghanistan, and that is same of the case that how both of the countries, the bilateral ties, they are looking forward that how both of the side they would re-engage themselves into the bilateral ties, and along with that how Pakistan would move forward with the U.S. New strategy towards Afghanistan. And
right, thank you for that analysis, Yusra. And well, moving on, because since we have multiple topics to share, we're here moving towards topic two of this
yes.
edition. And regarding the first topic that you shared, I'm very hopeful that this visit will bring about something good in the bilateral ties of U.S. and Pakistan, and not just U.S. and Pakistan, but when we basically this region, in particular
yes.
Afghanistan. Now, listeners, topic two: Pakistan, Russia agree to expand bilateral ties in diverse fields. Now, for more updates, of course, Yusra will do the honors over here.
The Defense Minister Khurram Dastagir said that Pakistan and Russia have added new subjects in their bilateral dialogue process, which include trade liberalization, increasing number of Russian visas for Pakistani students, banking and customs cooperation. He was speaking in Moscow after the meeting of the 5th Pak-Russia Intergovernmental Commission, and Khurram Dastagir said that both sides have accelerated ongoing negotiations on numerous energy sector investments by Russia into Pakistan, and both sides signed a protocol to further enhance cooperation in the fields, including the investment in the energy sector. And we all know this, that Pakistan really needs energy for the sake of its economic development, for the sake of the new mega projects in the country, and Pakistan is looking forward to cover up that energy deficiency and to meet up the demand and supply in a very simultaneously manner. That is why Pakistan is looking forward to have the energy surplus from all over, and Pakistan and Russia ties is one of the significant relationship which is emerging, which is growing. growing up and which is also trying to find out the areas of the mutual interest. And no doubt that one side for the exchange programs, like in the shape of the Pakistani students, along with that banking and customs cooperation, and very significantly the energy cooperation from the Russia side into Pakistan would definitely be very instrumental in getting out of the energy crisis. And this is not only about the energy cooperation. I think it is a changing trend which Pakistan is following up. Pakistan has really opened up its horizons and all its manners to go to all of the side, and now we have seen that in the past the Pakistan-Russia relations were not as cordial as they are now, because it's both of the sides, they know this, that having a warm relationship in this region with Pakistan would be very beneficial for both of the sides. And I think that this is Pakistan and Russia, they are opening up the new chapter of their relationships with the concept of mutual understanding and mutual interests.
No doubt, we are witnessing shifting alliances, like we always say, in this region. So thank you for that update regarding Pakistan-Russia. Agree to expand bilateral ties in diverse fields. Allow me to share a quick update over here. Chief Minister of Punjab, Shahbaz Sharif, is addressing media right now in Lahore, and he was talking about basically 1.3 kilometer long underpass, and he said that it is a big achievement, and he also congratulated the people of Lahore on this development, of course. So that's the latest update, listeners, that we received. Now, moving towards the topic 3 of this edition of Pakistan This Week, Peshawar terrorist attack and Pakistan committed to wipe out terrorism, a very tragic update of this week. Now, 12 people, mostly students, were martyred and 25 others injured in a terrorist attack at a Agriculture Training Institute in Peshawar on Friday. According to police and rescue 1122, three terrorists broke into the premises of the institute and opened indiscriminate fire early in the morning of Friday. Now, there are also reports of a bomb explosion inside the institute. Now, soon after receiving the report, police, army and rapid response force personnel entered the premises and tried to engage the terrorists. The security forces killed all the terrorists. They also recovered a huge quantity of arms and ammunition from the building. The injured were rushed to Khyber Teaching Hospital and Hayatabad Medical Complex, Peshawar. And President Mamnoon Hassan and Prime Minister Shahid Khaqan Abbasi has strongly condemned the terrorist attack in Peshawar. In their separate messages, they have reiterated the national resolve for rooting terrorism with courage and determination. They have also appreciated the effective response of security forces in the incident and said every kind of challenge will be fought bravely. Minister of State for Information and Broadcasting Mariam Aurangzeb has also condemned the terrorist attack. Now, Yusra, indeed a very tragic development, but we have seen, and the security forces have been appreciated for their effective response in the incident, and moreover, we saw that every kind of challenge, according to the messages of Prime Minister and President, will be fought bravely. Although 12 people were martyred, but this figure could have been a lot bigger if the security forces had not reacted timely. Your quick take on that?
I would say the importance of the National Action Plan and also the military operations which are going on in the country. We have seen a very significant decline in the number of the terrorist attacks in the country, but at the same time, again a tragic incident, and in Peshawar, I think once again united the whole nation that we really need to fight against terrorism with the same devotion, with the same zeal, and a strong message has also been delivered to the rest of the world that Pakistanis, they have suffered so badly in the name of the terrorism, and it is the Pakistan Armed Forces, Pakistan's police, rapid response forces, that how they fight so bravely in order to eradicate the menace of that terrorism. And this such kind of an act, they are strongly being condemned, but at the same time, once again, they high up the morals of the common people.
Right. Thank you for your take on this development. Once again, Peshawar terrorist attack, Pakistan committed to wipe out terrorism. And according to revised figures, 12 people, mostly students, were martyred and 25 others injured in this terrorist attack at Agriculture Training Institute in Peshawar on Friday. Moving towards the topic 4 of Pakistan This Week, listeners, Indian testing of cruise missile is a threat to regional peace and stability. Speaking at weekly news briefing in Islamabad on 9:30, the Foreign Office spokesman Dr. Mohammad Faisal said that such moves also expose Indian duplicity, that it only pays a lip service to the arms control regimes. Moving on, replying to questions, he said that there has been increase in traction between Pakistan and the US following the announcement of new Afghanistan and South Asia strategy by President Trump. And obviously we have shared the first development of our program is also related to that US Defense Secretary James Mattis will arrive in Pakistan, Islamabad tomorrow, and it is basically to further discuss this new American strategy for South Asian region. And moreover, the spokesman of Foreign Office said that the two countries obviously is US and Pakistan, the two countries consider mutual engagement as beneficial, and that is why the US Defense Secretary is coming to Pakistan. Replying to another question about the increase in opium production in Afghanistan, Dr. Mohammad Faisal said that Pakistan has serious concerns over the issue due to nexus between narcotics trade and financing of terrorism. And we have more updates on this.
He further added that at a meeting of Islamic Military Counterterrorism Coalition in Saudi Arabia, Pakistan highlighted its counterterrorism efforts and reaffirmed its support and cooperation in such efforts. To a question about any possible concerns of Iran regarding the coalition and Pakistan's role in it, the spokesperson said that we are in touch with Iran and the army chief paid visit to Tehran before the meeting of the coalition. Referring to the PM Sheikh Hassan Abbasi visit to Saudi Arabia, he said that the visit was a manifestation of our cordial ties with that country, and Prime Minister discussed regional and international matters during his meeting with Saudi leadership.
Right, and Yusra, I want your brief take on this, because the highlight of this press briefing of Dr. Mohammad Faisal, the spokesman of Foreign Office, is basically regarding the Indian testing of cruise missile, which has been dubbed as a threat to regional peace and stability. Obviously, we're talking about this very thin, very fragile strategic balance in this region. Your take on this?
And I think he's very much right that Indian duplicity, that it only pays a lip service to the arms control regime, and this is very much important that after such kind of a tests, what are the views of the international community, as they are very much open to support India in the nuclear suppliers group, which is absolutely, I think, that Pakistan also has the same right to be the membership of the NSG, and such kind of a test would definitely not only weaken up the strategic equilibrium, it poses a very serious question to the international community about the discriminatory attitude of the world of having such kind of a state which is a proliferator also, and the subsequent Indian test would definitely pose a very serious question to the arms control regime in the outer world.
Very true. That was topic for listeners. Indian testing of cruise missile is a threat to regional peace and stability, according to Foreign Office spokesman Dr. Mohammad Faisal. With this, listeners, we'll move to us mid-hour news bulletin. Until Minister says continuity of democratic process is inevitable for sustainable development of the country. Minister of State for Information says proper legislation is being done for special people. US Defense Secretary is arriving on day-long visit to Islamabad tomorrow to hold talks on bilateral and regional issues. In occupied Kashmir, a protest demonstration was held in Srinagar today against the ruthless thrashing of several prisoners in the New Delhi's Tihar jail. In Afghanistan, 6 people were killed in a bomb blast in Nangarhar province today. North Korea has warned of nuclear war in wake of largest ever joint air exercise by US and South Korea beginning tomorrow. That was the Mid-Hour News Bulletin, listeners, and with this we'll move to us a short break and then we'll come back and discuss the remaining topics in more detail. In the meantime, stay tuned.
Radio Pakistan's News and Current Affairs channel presents in-depth insights into important national and international issues. With expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Now you can download Radio Pakistan's app, Radio Pakistan Official, from Google Play on your Android cell phone to listen to live news, analysis and your favorite programs and music. Download now and keep listening Radio Pakistan, the voice of the nation. Welcome back to the program Pakistan This Week from News and Current Affairs channel of Radio Pakistan. This is your host Daniel Ahmed Chughtai, joined in the studio by
Yusra Mushtaq.
Listeners, you can also listen live to our program or in a recorded format at www.radio.gov.pk. And for those of our listeners who just joined us, in Pakistan This Week we discussed top news stories and important developments of the previous week and also of the day. And in this edition of Pakistan This Week, all in all, we have seven topics, and up till now I have shared four of those topics along with my co-host Yusra Mushtaq. So moving ahead with the agenda, topic five, listeners, government strives to resolve energy crisis. Now this is the development of 29th of the previous month. Prime Minister Shanta Khan Abbasi inaugurated Unit 1 of 1,320 megawatt coal-fired power plant at Port Qasim in Karachi. Speaking on the occasion, he said, democracy is the only choice for Pakistan to ensure stability, progress and prosperity. And the PM said, the government believes in freedom of expression and there is no curb on print and electronic media. He said that state institutions have successfully defeated terrorism in the country and all the institutions are united in their resolve to uproot terrorism from the country. And moreover, he added that next general elections will be held in 2018. Now, about the power plant, we have more updates which Yusra Mushtaq is going to share.
Yes, about the power plant, PM said that completion of Unit 1 of the coal-based power plant at the Port Qasim in Karachi is a milestone and a symbol of Pakistan-China friendship. The Unit 1 will generate 660 megawatt electricity and it has been completed at a cost of $2 billion in a record time of 30 months, which is ahead of its scheduled time. The second unit of the plant will also be functional in February next year, and the PM said that CPAC will play a vital role in the economic development and progress of Pakistan. Projects completed under CPAC will provide job opportunities to thousands of unemployed youth of the country. And the Port Qasim power plant is the first project that has been completed under the CPAC, and besides, a number of the projects in the LNG sector have also been initiated.
Right. Well, Yusra, in the multitude of similar developments in the energy sector of Pakistan, this is just another development that Prime Minister Shanta Khan Abbasi inaugurated Unit 1 of 1,320 megawatt coal-fired power plant at Port Qasim in Karachi on 29. How would you comment on the energy mix of Pakistan? We have seen that a lot of developments have taken place in a very short span of time after the initiation of China-Pakistan Economic Corridor. As of today, how do you see the energy mix of Pakistan?
At present, after 4 to 5 years, I would say a very contrasting energy mix is present, as we are trying to generate electricity from solar, from hydel, from coal, from nuclear, renewable and non-renewable sources. And this kind of an energy mix is not only going to deal with the needs of today or a near future, it is going to address the needs of the generations. A very, very influential move, because this is a vision which we have seen that the present government, how they are taking up and how they are addressing the energy crisis. Because just 5 years back, it was all out load shedding. People have suffered so badly. There is a dark out whenever we say about the villages and the small towns. But at present, we have seen that the contrasting feature of the energy mix is very much colorful, I would say, regarding the Pakistan's energy needs and supplies and demands. And it is not only about to generate the electricity at the home. Pakistan is also trying to have all the ventures where Pakistan at the bilateral level, where Pakistan can go for the energy investment and the projects. And this, I would say, the coal-fired power plant is the first one which has been completed in the series of the CPEX operations. And I think this is a big time for the Pakistanis also, as they have completed before the deadline. And it is definitely going to enhance the employment ratio of the country also.
Very true, because Pakistan was suffering from a dire energy deficit.
Yes.
And I think incumbent government must be appreciated that they have tackled this problem in a very commanding way, and in a very short span of time they have literally taken a U-turn as far as the deficit of energy is concerned. So this is government strives to resolve energy crisis. Prime Minister Shaikh Khan Abbasi inaugurated Unit 1 of 1,320 megawatt coal-fired power plant at Port Qasim in Karachi on 29th of the previous month. Moving towards the next topic of our agenda in this edition of Pakistan This Week, this is the topic 6. Saudi King and Prime Minister discuss to further enhance bilateral ties. This development transpired on 28th of previous month. Now, Prime Minister Shaikh Khan Abbasi has underlined the need to further strengthen the bilateral relations and cooperation between Pakistan and Saudi Arabia in diverse fields, including defence, trade and investment. This he stated while talking to Saudi King Salman bin Abdul Aziz and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in Riyadh. Foreign Minister Khwaja Mohammed Asif and Army Chief General Qamar Javed Bajwa were also present on this occasion. The two leaders reviewed entire spectrum of bilateral relations in addition to regional and international issues. They also discussed ways and means to further enhance bilateral relations in diverse fields, and the PM lauded the efforts of Saudi leadership in bringing peace and stability to the region and assured Pakistan's full support in this regard. And we have more updates on this.
Yes, the Saudi King appreciated the efforts of Pakistan in routing the menace of terrorism and extremism from its soil. PM praised the efforts of the Crown Prince in launching a unified platform of Muslim countries in form of Islamic military alliance to counter the menaces of extremism and terrorism that are distorting the real essence of Islam. The Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, while appreciating the efforts of Pakistan in fighting terrorism, said that Saudi Arabia and other countries of the coalition look forward to learn from the Pakistan's experience. Earlier addressing the meeting of Islamic military counter-terrorism coalition in Riyadh, Defence Minister Khurram Dastagir assured Saudi Arabia and the participating countries of Pakistan's full support and cooperation within the mutually agreed framework. The minister acknowledged and appreciated the effort of the Saudi leadership in building partnership to counter the scourge of terrorism and extremism. He also outlined Pakistan's key role in global fight against terrorism and highlighted the continued resolve of Pakistan despite huge human and financial losses.
I think even before the scourge of terrorism was an issue for this region or even globally, Pakistan and Saudi Arabia were really close, and they were very close allies.
Yes.
But I think issues like these have further brought these Muslim countries together. It's not just about Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. It's about rather a grand alliance of Muslim countries, because increasingly we see that it is Muslim countries and Muslim populace which is being subjected to the scourge of terrorism. Yusra, you're very brief. Take on this.
No doubt it's a grand alliance of all the international Muslim community, all the major countries they are present in this alliance. And the foremost important thing is that no doubt the Muslims have suffered so badly in the name of extremism, in the name of the terrorism. And the correct interpretation about the terrorism, the correct interpretation about the religion is very much important and significant. And same time, this coalition force would definitely be very fruitful for all the Muslim countries where we are fighting about against the terrorism, as we are coming up with lots of new challenges of the terrorism. Such kind of a collision force would definitely be more compatible with the rest of the forces which are working in the name of allied forces or the NATO forces which are working for the sake of countering the terrorism.
Right, and in the words of Prime Minister, he lauded the efforts of Saudi leadership in bringing peace and stability to the region and assured Pakistan's full support in this regard. Now, listeners, that was topic 6. U.S. Prime Minister and Saudi King discussed to further enhance bilateral ties, and this transpired on 28th of previous month. Moving towards the last topic of this edition of Pakistan This Week, which is topic number 7. Government leadership of protesters agreed on peaceful resolution of Faizabad sit-in. This happened on 27th of the previous month, and much to a relief of, I think, many people, and
yes,
you and I also. But it is a good thing that this was resolved eventually peacefully. Now, government and leadership of the protesters, they reached an agreement for peaceful resolution of protest sit-in at Faizabad Interchange in Islamabad. The agreement, listeners, envisages winding up of sit-in and countrywide protest. Following the understanding, Minister for Law Zaid Hamid resigned, and the religious party demanded his resignation as the amendment in the law was presented to the parliament through his ministry. And I think we have more updates on this, Yusra.
The religious party had appreciated the restoration of 7B and 7C clauses in Khatm-e-Nubuwwat law. It's however demanded that the report of Raja Zafrul Haq may be made public in 30 days and action taken against those responsible as per law of the land. All those arrested during the protest would be released within 3 days and cases against them would be withdrawn. An inquiry board would be established to inquire into the operation against the protesters, and in pursuance of the agreement, sit-in leadership has asked all the protesters across the country to wind up their sit-ins and protests and return to their homes.
Well, I would say a sigh of relief, a very good development that this was peacefully resolved. So listeners, this is pretty much all from the current affairs side of this edition of Pakistan This Week. Allow me to summarize what we have covered in the current affairs segment. Topic 1, listeners, US Defense Secretary to visit Pakistan on Monday. This is the latest development, and he will arrive in Islamabad tomorrow on a day-long visit to Pakistan to discuss regional security, Afghan conflict and other bilateral issues. Topic 2, Pakistan and Russia agree to expand bilateral ties in diverse fields. Topic 3, Peshawar terrorist attack, Pakistan committed to wipe out terrorism. According to revised figures, 12 people, mostly students, were martyred and 25 others injured in a terrorist attack at Agriculture Training Institute in Peshawar on Friday. And listeners, the topic 4 of this edition of Pakistan This Week, Indian testing of cruise missile is a threat to regional peace and stability. This has been stated by Foreign Office spokesman Dr. Mohammad Faisal. And topic 5, government strives to resolve energy crisis. Prime Minister Shahid Zakan Abbasi inaugurated Unit 1 of 1,320 megawatt coal-fired power plant at Port Qasim in Karachi. And this is the development of 29th of previous month. Topic 6, Prime Minister and Saudi King discussed to further enhance bilateral ties. And former Minister Khwaja Muhammad Asif and Army Chief General Qamar Javed Bajwa were also present on this occasion. The two leaders reviewed entire spectrum of bilateral relations in addition to regional and international issues. And the last topic of this edition of Pakistan This Week, listeners, government and leadership of protesters agreed on peaceful resolution of Faizabad sit-in. This is pretty much all as far as the current affairs side of this edition of Pakistan This Week is concerned. But in the due course, we will share the segment Spot on Technology, which comprises of latest technological and science news by Maha Khan Jadoon. But as of now, listeners, we will move towards a short break.
Radio Pakistan's news and current affairs channel presents in-depth insight into important national and international issues, with expert opinion by eminent analysts, whether it's national security, economy, foreign policy, or infrastructure development. Reaching out to our listeners from Gilgit to Gwadar, from Khyber to Karachi, with unbiased shades of opinion. Radio Pakistan, Voice of the Nation. Keep listening to the English Show Perspective for latest news and analysis from Monday to Saturday from 6:10 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Listen. Welcome back to the program Pakistan This Week from News and Current Affairs Channel of Radio Pakistan. This is your host Daniel Ahmed Chuftai, joined in the studio by Yusra Mushtaq and Maha Khan Jadoon. Listeners, you can also listen live to our program or in a recorded form at www.radio.gov.pk. Now, without further ado, we will move towards Spot On Technology by Maha Khan Jadoon. Over to you, Maha.
Thank you, Daniel. Good evening, listeners. This is Maha Khan Jadoon, your host for Spot On Technology. Today, I'll share some interesting science and technology news, so stay tuned. North Korea's latest missile test was even scarier than it seemed. When North Korea tested an intercontinental ballistic missile on Tuesday, analysts quickly determined that the weapon would be able to reach any target in the continental United States. Further photo and video analysis since, though, indicate that the missile test represents an even greater advance in capabilities than analysts first thought. And as the international community grapples with the geopolitical implications, more North Korean missile sophistication means more tough questions for the country's enemies. Many analysts originally assumed that the North Korea this week launched an improved version of the Hwasong-14 missile, the ICBM the country successfully tested twice in July. But North Korean photos and videos show that while the rocket tested on Tuesday, it is a two-stage liquid-fuel missile that has some familiar features to the Hwasong-14. The latest effort is significantly larger and has a first stage powered by two engines instead of one. The second stage also seems to have more propellant than the Hwasong-14. Listeners, the Bitcoin bubble burst will warn you if the Bitcoin dream is about to crash down. Whether you're a Bitcoin believer or a vulture waiting to have your bubble predictions prove right, you're probably keeping one nervous eye on the charts in anticipation of the crash that everyone seems to expect any second now. Bitcoin bubble burst, presented at the Disrupt Berlin Hackathon, lets you focus on other things, while it watches for major price changes and news events that could affect prices and alerts in real time. There are plenty of apps and services that warn you when Bitcoin trading volume or price changes greatly none give you adequate warning when something is going to happen. So they created a machine learning system and trained it on data linked to Bitcoin price changes. Patterns in trading in key new items, for example, A country bans Bitcoin, or taxes are proposed on cryptocurrency income somewhere. They are now detected by the system, and if they reach a certain threshold of importance, you will receive an email. The logic behind the warning is included. It is just not sell. Google is working on a fix for a bug that's causing Home Minis to crash at high volume. It's been a bug-filled couple of months for Google's hardware team. The list of issues hitting devices announced at the company's Pixel 2 event in October just grew by another, as users have begun reporting Home Mini crashes when the smart speakers played at maximum volume. Slash here spotted a growing chorus of complaints on Google's message board this week. The problem does not appear to be a universal one, but the issue is widespread enough that the company has begun soliciting crash reports from users through the Google Home app. The company also told TechCrunch that it's working on a fix for the problem. For some, the problem only appears to be occurring with a select set of songs for some. And for some, Royals by Lorde is one that gets named checked quite a bit, causing the system to shut down and reboot. The easy fix for the moment is to just keep the volume down. The Echo Dot competitor, which is priced at $30 for the moment, is probably not the best way to listen to your music at top volume anyway. Listeners, virtual reality is getting its groove back. Technophiles tend to overestimate the pace of mass adoption. For example, virtual reality fans expected a lot more of us to be whining away our days with goggles stuck to faces, immersed in virtual worlds. Instead, we are still glued to our cell phones as the virtual reality headset makers struggle to make headway. While consumers snapped up more than 200 million iPhones last year, they bought just a few million headsets. For 2017, those ratios are not expected to improve much. Yet, while virtual and augmented reality uptake may be slower than boosters expected or hoped, venture investment has not slackened. Funding for VR and AR startups in 2017 is roughly on par with the 2016 levels. The year got off to a sluggish start in the first quarter, but investment in the past three quarters has accelerated enough to make up for the deficit. Twitter is standing by its earlier decision to keep up a series of graphic anti-Muslim videos retweeted by President Trump earlier this week, though it's attempting to reframe its reason for doing so. CEO Jack Dorsey took the site to retract an earlier statement that Twitter support had left the videos live due to their being newsworthy for public interest, a guideline it's invoked numerous times when criticized about its decision to leave up presidential tweets. The site now says that while it wasn't wrong to keep the content up, its original justification for doing so was wrong. We mistakenly pointed to the wrong reason we did not take action on the videos from earlier this week, the executive explained, echoing Twitter's official statement that these videos are permitted on Twitter based on our current media policy. Dorsey also added, however, that the site is still looking critically at all of our current policies and we appreciate all the feedback. He pointed to recently announced plans to update site guidelines as Twitter has come under increasing scrutiny over what it does and doesn't pull from the site. Earlier last month, it posted a new version of its rules, highlighting things like abusive behavior, adult content, and graphic violence. Open source mapping platform Mapbox has acquired activity tracking app Fitness AR, which allows users to view runs, hikes, or cycling routes from Strava superimposed on a 3D map of the terrain. The announcement was made by Mapbox mobile VP Paul Wagen in the Medium post. Mapbox will continue to deliver updates to the app, which will be dropping its $2.99 price and going free in the App Store starting today. Fitness augmented reality was among the first AR kit-enabled apps and was featured by Apple early on. The app utilized Mapbox Unity Maps SDK to visualize the terrain of the paths. Like most other AR kit-enabled apps, what the team built was definitely relatively simple, but it seems like people at Mapbox really liked the implementation. Fitness AR's co-founders Adam DePriseni and Eric Florizano will be joining Mapbox as part of the acquisition to work on AR tech and verticals, including travel, weather, fitness, sports, and gaming, according to the company. Google's smart speaker got a little more smarter this week with the addition of a multitasking feature. The new capability makes it possible for the device to accomplish two different missions at the same time. It was rolled out with little fanfare and first noted by CNET. It's a bit surprising that the company rolled it out to home units with no mention. It's a handy addition to what's essentially been a single-minded device. The company has been promising to add routines since the Pixel 2 event a few months back, essentially creating predetermined scenes that tie a bunch of actions to a command. That is something else though. Rather than having to preload all of that via an app, you can simply ask it to perform two jobs simultaneously. Only two though. not 3 or 4. That would be flying a little too close to the sun. You also have to separate the tasks into individual commands, as the device won't understand 2 tasks crammed into the same sentence. Even though it's limited, the silently released feature is arguably more handy than the forthcoming routines, as it can be accomplished on the fly. In spite of letting Alexa get a pretty massive head start, Google's done a pretty solid job playing catch-up to the Echo's existing skill set. Listeners, this is all for today's Pot on Technology. I'm your host, Maha Khanjadoon. Stay tuned for more updates.
Thank you for those technological and science news. That was Maha Khanjadoon. Listeners, in the segment Spot on Technology. Now, in the end, a bit of sports news followed by a weather update, starting off with cricket. Hazardous smog stopped play in the third test between India and Sri Lanka in New Delhi on Sunday, with players wearing face masks as air quality dipped in the heavily polluted capital. Many of the Sri Lanka's fielders returned from lunch on the second day wearing masks amid visible haze at the Feroz Shah Stadium. A short while later, play was halted for around 20 minutes as Sri Lanka complained to the umpires about the smog. The US Embassy website on Sunday showed levels of the smallest and most harmful airborne pollutants in Delhi at 328, more than 10 times the level considered safe by the World Health Organization, also dubbed as WHO. Now, the test was delayed as the umpires consulted the match referee, team doctors and physiotherapists before deciding to resume play. Indeed, Yusra, we do talk about this, that climate change, and this is posing a big problem, and the pollution too. And unfortunately, South Asia is a region which is affected a lot by it. Listeners, moreover, from the cricket side, England snared the prized wicket of their nemesis Steve Smith as Australia toiled under the lights in a feisty opening day of the first ever day-night Ashes test on Saturday. It was the debutant Craig Overton who claimed the youth scalp of the world's top-rated test batsman for 40 and his first test wicket in the 63rd over of a grimly fought contest between bat and ball at this test match. But the Australians, leading the series after a 10-wicket first test win in Brisbane, only lost 4 wickets after being surprisingly sent into bat by England skipper Joe Root. Listeners, that's all from the cricket side. Lastly, quick weather update, sign off the situation. Westerly wave is likely to enter upper parts of the country today evening and may persist next 2 to 3 days. Weather forecast for the next 24 hours, mainly cold and dry weather is expected in most parts of the country. However, rain, thunderstorm with gusty wind, snowfall over the hills is expected at isolated places in Malak and Hazara Division, Gilgit-Baltistan and Fatah. With this, listeners, the credits of this edition of Pakistan This Week. Sound engineer was Muhammad Rashid Khan. Program coordinator was Muhammad Ayaz Khan. Program in charge was Asadullah Khan. And executive in charge was Javed Khan Jadoon. With this, allow your host, Tanya Al-Ahmed Shuftai, Yusra Mushtaq, and Maha Khan Jadoon to sign off from the studio. Allah Nigeban.